With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders, and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Welcome to the 4 till 7 thing podcast. You right, sons?
Hello.
You right there, Gav?
Hello.
You right, little Si?
Hello.
You right, big Si? This week on your podcast, well, there's loads of great stuff. We're going to be sweeping the leg of truth and the dojo of deceit for more acts of total bullshido. Last time we did the fib-based feature, July 2017. It seems like only yesterday, doesn't it?
Really does.
It seems that, doesn't
really,
it, sons?
Really does.
Really does, doesn't it?
Yesterday.
The team take on another TJ Top 10. We're going to be playing our carbs right. Expect plenty of linguine, rigatoni and fettuccine, which was actually surprisingly good, that.
Yes.
Just shows
it really
you that.
Ramped up.
It was brilliant.
Maybe our favourite Lamborghinis next. And the woman has a gentleman scientist from the Victorian age harnessing the power of the leech to predict bad wind in his right little slot. Enjoy podcast 393.
Radio X.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Little Si. Tell us about your body.
Oh.
Well,
what did you find out that you didn't know before about your body?
Christmas party season's approaching, so I thought I need a new pair of black Oxfords.
Yes. Hey, wait a second, how much partying are you doing?
Yeah, well, he's been in a pair of Oxfords as well. It's been a wild party.
Your party Oxfords.
What's a party outfit?
No, for the tour bus.
With the party season coming, I wanted a pair of Oxfords. Explain to some of the listeners who don't know what a pair of Oxfords is, what a pair of Oxfords is.
A derby shoe has sort of tabs that are attached to the shoelaces, aren't they? They're sort of
the flaps, the shoe that the lace
flaps.
Holes are in. Yeah, yes. Go on.
Wait a second. If we imagine a shoe is a map of Britain,
I will get so confused.
Whereabouts?
So what does an Oxford do? That's what a derby does. What does an Oxford do?
An Oxford, I would say, has a sort of slit in the top.
Oh, so it's just more shoe that they've
cut a slit in, yes.
Yeah, rather than overlapping flaps that have got the lace holes in them.
Yes.
Right. And what
is
happened?
Is that what an Oxford is?
Yes.
Interesting.
It's not the toe cap style.
That's what I thought it was, yeah.
So I think it's the lace style.
So the upper is a two piece as opposed to a one piece.
Is that correct?
Anyway, so I went into a shop.
Yeah.
Got myself measured.
Got myself measured.
And
yeah.
It turns out that I am a C fitting shoe.
But width.
Right. As opposed
width.
To what?
Now, the average is an F-fitting shoe.
Right.
So I am particularly narrow.
You've
got incredibly narrow. You've got feet like razor blades.
Very thin.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So now, the only pair that the shop had was this lovely pair of Oxfords, which I did take.
And did you check that that the shoelace eyelets were attached under the vamp?
Did you
check?
I didn't check that, no. But
because that would make it an Oxford.
Well, there was only one shoe that was a shoe, which was a C-fitting shoe for me.
Well, not even
so
a pair.
Go for that. I had to go for this pair. Okay.
Yeah.
What? But they had closed lacing.
Yeah.
Yes, they had closed lacing.
Okay.
Yes, that's right.
And how did that work out?
Well, they're very lovely. Lovely pair of shoes.
Why did you want that over? Why did you want that over the derby?
Well, it's a more formal shoe. And I go to a lot of formal Christmas parties.
Oh, I see. So you're doing a lot of formal partying.
It's a lot of formal partying.
How much formal partying do you do? You don't do any with us.
No.
When's the formal part? When's one?
He's been asked to join the cabinet.
Look,
I have heard that rumour.
I've invited you to the pub for Christmas dinner. That's about it.
It's not a formal occasion.
No, I can assure you, isn't it? So we're not going to get you're not going to take them for a run out.
No.
Andrew says, I don't trust little Si over average widths.
Yes, I don't know. Someone else just texting sees him.
Yes.
Anyway, they gave me a catalogue to have a look at the different styles because they said, very good salesman, he said, I can always have them made for you, a little
bit
narrower.
I bet he did.
I've got to go through, choose my style, and it'll make me narrower.
Style!
For a certain consideration, obviously.
Well, you're getting handmade shoes.
No, I won't. Of course I won't. Of course not.
Tell you what, someone's coming to some money.
Yeah, right.
No.
Whoa! thousands.
I thought
they
cost
thousands.
They cost like $3,000.
No, not at all. They've already got my.
But I said, yeah, no, of course, I'll take the catalogue. Of course, you know, because
yeah,
I didn't want to seem cheap.
Yeah, anyway, what's this big revelation?
So I flick through the catalogue. And I get to the ladies' section, get started looking through the ladies' section.
And it was there you recognised your feet.
All the ladies' shoes are
a C-fitting.
Hey! So I have ladies' feet.
You have the feet of a lady.
Maybe, what size is your foot?
Oh, it's a normal, it's like 9.5.
But maybe if you go to a decent shoe place, they do ladies' Oxfords. Yeah. Or you just go and get a ladies' Oxford.
Yeah, with a high heel. That'd look great.
No, they do. Won't have a high heel.
No, with a high heel, definitely.
Just like a little kitten heel.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 Fang.
Radio X.
Yeah. Prince's wardrobe is up for sale.
Wow.
Raspberry beret not included. Right. Interesting fact here. Where were the judge of that?
Go on.
Is that at his maximum, there were more than 50 or 60 employees working all week long creating outfits for Prince.
Just on the wardrobe department. 50 or 60.
He loved a bit of an outfit change during
That's
a gig.
That's amazing.
50 or 60.
A week.
A week.
That's amazing. God, that must have been expensive.
Anyway, Bertrand Brillois, a Parisian businessman, has become a prolific collector of the princely garments. He began contacting people behind the costume, asking if he could take old pieces off their hands.
Yeah.
Everyone was taking me for crazy, he said, even though he's French.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was one of the only ones thinking this had to be preserved. Now, amid surging demand for Prince-related artifacts.
Yeah.
He's selling his collection. So he's collected it all on the quiet while no one else.
So this isn't his family or estate.
He's a strategic consultant. He first saw Prince in concert in the 1990s. Mm. He says he was wearing a flashing suit and a hat made of chain.
Yes.
The headgear was a black peaked hat that featured the artist's new motif, meant to combine the symbols for male and female.
Oh, yeah.
Dangling from the brim was a curtain of gold chains.
Yeah, I remember that hat.
That obscured his face. He goes, I was impacted by that look. So he's selling them off. He reckons they're selling Bill Ross' collection of more than 200 lots this week. It'll raise at least £250,000. I think more.
A ruffled
shirt. Well, I think that's for the whole collection, but considering a ruffled shirt he wore in Purple Rain sold for $96,000.
Yeah.
And one of his weird guitars sold for $700.
I think it's
going to go for loads. Next up, McVeigh. Now, one of the things that people patronise, the uneducated, people with no expertise in anything.
Yeah.
What they say is, yeah, but I've got common sense.
Oh, that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is exactly what's happened with Esther McVeigh.
Right.
When they look at someone who's just obviously done deals, I'll back you, and she's, she seems to, she sort of gives good face and all that.
Sure.
So they've said she's now been appointed the czar for common sense.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And what they're really saying is she has no expertise, no specialist
at
subject,
all.
Nothing she has to do, nothing they want to put her in charge of.
Yeah. Sure.
But what they want to say is, we're about common sense. So we'll just say,
up a whole job for it.
Can I say to you, what you've done is such an own goal. Mm. It's extraordinary. Because you're all meant to have it.
Yeah, why haven't you already got common sense?
Right. So you've got to have one person who's got it. What the rest of you got?
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it?
I thought we all had common sense. No.
Oh, we needed a minister now.
Being common sense. That's Esther's.
We don't need common sense.
It's
like saying politics isn't about common sense. We've got some of that. A synthesis, we've got some of that.
Yeah.
I think again about that. You might have put one past your own key. It might have been a stupid, moronic thing.
Definitely.
Although, I would appoint someone as a ridiculator.
What's that?
A ridiculator is someone in the particularly in law, that just stops. If someone just says, "Don't be ridiculous."
Oh, I see. To stop the more silly stuff getting
a ridiculator. Don't waste the court's time. Son off.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Because it's obvious. But the law must say, no, you're just freeloaders.
Yeah, right.
He's a con man.
Yeah.
That's it.
Out.
Yes. No, I'm not going to bring that to court. I'll waste the court's time.
Yeah, right.
Naff off. Next up.
Go on.
After promotions or engagements, many people's impulse is to share good news with their nearest and dearest.
Oh, yes.
Of course.
On social media, wherever.
Uh-huh.
You say, of course, since don't.
Why?
Why?
Don't do it.
Why?
Why?
Don't do it.
Why?
Because it's better to have a secret inside. It makes you feel good. I've got a secret. Yeah, what you're talking about is being smug.
Yeah,
what's that about?
Oi, what are you looking so smug about? Nothing.
Never you mind.
Nothing.
If you get some good news at work, a promotion or something, don't tell anyone. Just keep it to yourself and feel good about it.
Well, until you're promoted, they might notice when you suddenly got a corner office since.
Yeah.
Not that you'll ever get one.
Oh.
No, you're not going to get one. You're a DJ. You're with me now. You're one of us now, love.
Call a studio.
Yet a study suggests we're better off keeping our cards close to our chest, for positive secrets can leave us feeling energised and invigorated. How about that?
And smug.
Yes. No, I had a really positive bit of news this week.
Yeah.
And I told you a bit of it, but I didn't tell you exactly what it was.
Right.
And I've felt good about it ever since.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I received a text.
Uh-huh.
I suggested something to a big name actor.
Yeah.
Saying you should buy that book.
Oh, that, yes.
Turns out they've already done it in the making.
That
film.
Was amazing.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, it happened.
I didn't tell you what it was or who it was.
No. Nope.
That's true.
But I just, and you were looking at me like, what is it, John? What is it? Not telling you.
Yeah, but that did come across as a bit smug.
I know, but I don't mind because I felt good all week.
Okay.
We've already had someone saying what great energy there is on the show.
Oh, yeah.
It's because this show is driven by smug.
X.
Now time to thank our partner of this episode, Sky. The BAFTA award-winning show, The Lazarus Project, is back with an unmissable, action-packed new series. The world is stuck in a three-week time loop with the clock resetting each time the world ends. The Lazarus agents need to find a way to save the future and all of humanity before it's too late. The stakes have never been higher, with even more twists and turns and even trickier moral challenges to navigate. Johnny can't wait to see it. If I could go back in time... Actually, thinking about it, I'll probably go back to that last bit I did and avoid talking about myself in the third person. But what would you do? Make your fortune? Get back the one that got away? Undo a poor life decision? Watch all episodes of the new series of The Lazarus Project on Sky. Thanks again to Sky for supporting this podcast.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
That's The Offspring, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Uh-huh.
It's quite a good, not a bad finishing record when you're having a bit of fun.
Sure, sure.
In the gym,
sure.
And you're just funning around and, you know, you're not quite off the locker room yet, you know. But
yeah.
People are having fun,
sure.
Throwing towels around, grab ass and...
Just good-natured fun.
Yeah, just sure. A bit of good-natured, just bounce and grab ass. And,
sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
back-slapping.
Yeah, getting each other's grills, getting up in each other's faces.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
But in a good way, you
sure,
know?
Yeah, yeah. Aggressive but fun.
Aggressive but challenge.
Yeah.
Aggressive but violent.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And,
but in a nice way, yeah.
But in a nice way, yeah. Hurting each other, but okay, you know?
Yeah.
Like running the whole length of the change and deliver a Superman knee.
Yeah, right, a proper dead leg Superman
yeah,
you know,
but you,
knee.
You,
yeah,
leap,
yeah.
You do it in midair.
What's,
someone's like, look.
What's the Superman knee?
You fly. You fly.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Superman punch, but with your knee. Yeah.
You say you go in. You go in with leading with your knee.
Yeah.
So you effectively you're turning your knee into a big raised knuckle.
It's great banter.
Sounds like bants to me.
It's honestly, if you see someone, they literally. So, I mean, we've had two guys there who have come back the next week in the gym. Yeah.
Yeah.
In wheelchairs.
That's right. One of them was crying.
Yeah.
But it was great fun though. It was
just for
fun.
A week.
Sure.
But they've just had to then work out an upper body. They literally couldn't move the legs for a bit. Well, one leg for a bit.
Sure.
And if one leg's out, you got that's it, isn't it?
Great.
We regularly put people on crutches with dead legs.
Great.
We had people hospitalised. Oh, man, the bads.
Radio X.
Iceland declares a state of emergency. They've got this imminent volcanic eruption.
Oh, yes, I saw a diagram that looked really scary.
Now, I saw the second biggest volcano. I've seen Spain's biggest volcano.
Oh, yeah.
It's not active, but it's on Tenerife.
Right.
It's I was running up it, jogging up it, actually.
Of course you
were. Sure, sure.
Mount Tidy, which I think is quite funny. It's quite a funny name for a volcano, because if it goes off, it's going to be distinctly untidy. Right. Obviously, I've seen Vesuvius. You've all seen Mount Etna. But Iceland, they're quite smug about the fact they live on this very volcanic island.
Yeah.
They've got naturally occurring hot water.
Sure.
They get heat from it. But can you imagine what it feels like?
The map I saw, it looked like the whole country was about
right.
To
that's what I saw as well.
Shuddering, yeah. It looks terrifying.
It was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, last time there was an eruption there, everyone got grounded on the pipes, didn't they? Because all the ash clouds everywhere.
Well, this is the other thing about it, is when Iceland has a volcano, this not just doesn't just affect Iceland,
everyone.
Although good luck
everyone,
to them.
Yeah.
I've got lots of family there, incidentally. I don't know if you realise that.
Sure.
I've got a lot of family in Iceland.
Really?
Yes. Did you not know?
No. What, Vaughan John's daughter?
No. my dad's youngest brother married an Icelandic opera singer.
Right.
But, I've got my cousin Magnus. You've seen him on, he's been on World's Strongest Man.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What, Magnus Ver Magnusson?
Yes.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not. That's my
he's
cousin.
Related
he's
related
to you. He's my cousin.
God, you strong men.
I know.
You're all related, aren't you?
I know.
You? Man.
It's in the genes.
Magnus Ver Magnusson.
And also Bengt. My cousin Bengt.
Sure, he's huge.
I was thinking it's the funniest name you can possibly have.
Bengt.
Especially if you're quite a clumsy kid that's always breaking things. Bengt!
Stop it.
Bengt! Will you stop that?
Put it down.
But just a baby. What's the baby's name? It's Bengt.
Bengt, yeah.
B-E-N-G-T. Anyway, Iceland is expecting a major volcanic eruption within days or even hours. The pressure of lava beneath the ground accumulates at an unprecedented rate. The tension, guys.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine the stress?
It's
just
terrifying,
underneath, you're like, literally, don't, mate. What's the latest?
Yeah.
What's the latest on that?
How big's the volcano? Well, it stretches from Cornwall all the way to Essex.
Yes.
That's what it looks like on the map. It's like the whole thing.
It's not quite that big.
I know.
It's pretty big.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's like having, it's like if you've got a giant, like living on a giant spot.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
It's exactly
except
like
there
that.
Won't be hot. Any, but it won't be relief.
No.
When it goes.
No, and there's no giant hot flannel to sort of wash it.
No, there is no giant hot flannel.
No.
But when I was on holiday in Tenerife, I was on the beach, I said, when did it last go off? And the guy goes, well, about 110 years ago.
Right, well, that's not that long ago.
No, but the point is, his thinking is that, you know, that's the longest now.
Right. Oh, so it's really due. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're living in Tenerife, that's it. You're living on literally a time bomb.
Yeah.
God. It's like living on a giant bomb that's ticking.
Wow.
In fact, they should permanently, if you listen to the ground, they should have a ticking.
How is it not just a permanent party?
Right.
With everyone just assuming it might be the last day.
Yeah, anyway, so a river of molten rock is now just 2,500 feet beneath the southwestern town of Grindavik. If you've never been to Grindavik, it's a muscle town.
Right.
Everyone walks around carrying those enormous rocks.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah. And most cars are pulled by people with their teeth.
Right. It's just the way they live.
It's just where they live.
A river of molten rock.
That's 25 miles from Reykjavik. Yeah.
Wow.
The eruption could cause major damage to the town, which was evacuated over the weekend, as magma shifting beneath the Earth's crust caused hundreds of earthquakes. Iceland has got 33 active quakes, active volcanoes.
Wow.
Have any of you ever been in an earthquake?
No.
I've been in two.
Have you?
Yeah, I was in one in Los Angeles, the big one, a few years ago.
Right.
Like a 6.5, and I was in a smaller one in the Gulf of Volos in Greece when I was a kid.
Where were you? Were you outside? Were you in a building?
Yeah, I was at a cafe bar.
Were you?
I was at a cafe bar. When I was in Volos, and I actually, my seat, my chair, I was only about 14, my chair sort of lifted up, and I thought someone was, one of the lads were on holiday with me,
messing
shaking
around,
my
head.
I actually turned around and go, oi! And there's just no one there. And then everyone
terrifying.
Was like screaming and all the tables started moving. It's really scary.
I bet it is because you don't know, do you?
Yes.
You don't know what's going to happen. The ground could just open up.
The one in Los Angeles, I was in my hotel room and I had a big night's drinking.
Mm.
And at first I thought it was sort of part of this because I'd had a lot of tequila.
Right. You thought it was a hangover.
Right. I had one leg dangling over the bed and on the floor.
Mm.
You know, for the
to steady yourself.
Anti-headspin kind of tactics.
Yeah.
And I thought it was part of that.
Right. Oh,
no. I thought, Christ, I've gone too far.
I've had far too much tequila.
Maybe I've been spiked.
And the room was actually moving.
Yes.
My
it was
God.
Terrifying.
Were you up a few floors? Or
I was up on the first floor.
Right.
Yeah, I was terrified. Then I realised it was an earthquake, and I'd seen a show about it about a few weeks before that says, go in a doorway.
Oh, right, yes, the door frame is supposed to protect
you. And I can tell you, if you'd seen me in that doorway, the words tough and John would not come to mind at all.
Johnny Vaughan.
Radio X.
Gav, you got a hero for us?
Sure do.
Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, an absolute beaut, drawn from our favourite era of heroics, the Victorian age. A vast age of eccentricity and a golden age for the gentleman scientist. To wit, Gavin, tell us about this gentleman scientist.
Okay, so today's hero is Dr. George Merriweather.
which is a great name when you consider what he invented. He was a 19th century family doctor and later a surgeon.
Yeah, great nominative determinism.
Really is. He lived in Whitby. He wasn't just a doctor, he was also an inventor, which I think...
A gentleman scientist.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think in that sort of industrial age, it was... I think everyone was a sort of inventor.
A polymath.
Yeah, everyone.
Polymath.
Things, yeah.
Yeah, everything sort of... I mean, let's not forget, the father, really, the most significant biologist that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Charles Darwin.
Yes.
He's a geologist.
I know, and it's always something else they get famous for.
No, it wasn't because he's able to approach it with a sort of fresh eyes.
That's right, yeah.
He was a complete amateur as a biologist.
Anyway, Dr. Merriweather came up with a beauty of an invention. He invented a weather predicting device called the leech powered tempest prognosticator.
Could we have that again, please, Gavin?
The leech powered tempest prognosticator.
The tempest prognosticator.
It was shown proudly at the Great Exhibition of 1851, and Dr. Merriweather then tried to get the government to install his tempest prognosticator, or as some people call it, the leech barometer, in all the ports around the British coast. They didn't. They just used barometers. But how did it work?
Prognosticators have foreknowledge of, isn't it?
Yes, it's a predictor of storms or heavy rain.
Prognostications are the signs of the future, hence dire prognostications.
Absolutely.
A real favourite, that.
So I've seen a picture of one when it was recreated in the 50s. There's a picture of one online. It looks like a small merry-go-round with 12 pint-sized glass bottles arranged in a circle. And it was... the reason they're in a circle, it was so that the leeches that were in the bottles didn't suffer from the affliction of solitary confinement.
Yeah.
It's a nice idea.
Well, anyway, they could all see each other in their glass.
Yes. So in the centre of the merry-go-round of leeches in bottles is a bell.
Yeah.
And on top of each bottle is a metal tube with a wire through it and a piece of whalebone, which is really Victorian.
Yeah.
And the idea was...
Gav, it's not really. It's tremendous.
It's so Victorian. Yeah, yeah. The idea was is there was a bit of water in the bottom of each bottle with a leech in it, and when the pressure changed and the moisture in the air changed, the leeches would rise.
Yes.
And that would dislodge the piece of whalebone, which would then trigger a little hammer that would hit the bell.
Yeah.
And the more of them that created the trigger of the bell,
well, there was going to be a tempest.
There's a tempest coming.
Because leeches know what's in the wind.
Absolutely. His inspiration came from a poem by a man called Edward Jenner, a poem called Signs of Rain. And the line that inspired him was, "The leech disturbed is newly risen, quite to the summit of his prison."
Well, no, but that line in that poem,
yeah,
because I know something of this chap,
mm-hmm.
It confirmed his belief, because as a doctor, he used to use leeches.
Right.
And he had noticed.
Yes.
That it just, you know, not, he thought he was just alone, noticing that there were days when his leeches were higher up in the bucket than normal.
Well,
and so he suddenly realised they were much higher up in the bucket on days when there were high winds or tempests, because he was right on the coast.
So he just wanted to somehow harness the rising of the leech.
Yeah, so he read that poem and he suddenly thought, oh, it's not just my leeches. Yes,
it's a universal truth.
They do. In that case, I'll invent my
poets.
In that case, I'll invent my leech
powered
tempest prognosticator.
He says, he tested it for a year. He says it was accurate.
Yeah.
There have been recreations of the device. They've been described as inconclusive,
yes,
the results.
Yeah.
And the government just used the
How
normal
about
barometer.
That? Listen, Gav, let's salute
Dr. George Merriweather.
Dr. George Merriweather, an absolute beauty, really is. And your leech powered tempest
it's
prognosticator.
X.
Shopping online this festive season? It's not just you looking for a steal. Help protect yourself with an email password that's easy to remember and harder to hack. Just look around you right now and choose 3 random words. For me, it's chocolate, keyboard, snorkel. What a bargain. Go on, make your password even stronger with 3 random words and take your email security to another level. Search CyberAware from the National Cyber Security Centre.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play our carbs rights. Britain's favourite pastas has been revealed.
I'm so pleased.
I'm really pleased about this as well.
I've been wondering about this for decades.
If it's lower, it's less popular. Higher, okay, are the most popular ones.
Right.
Sunter, heads or tails?
Heads, please.
Play this at home. if you're with someone, you can don't have to say I'm Sunter, I'm Gav. Yeah. You play amongst yourselves. I'm just all I'm supplying is a stream of data.
Sure.
A stream of data. Right, here we go. Mm. We're going to start off with Farfalle.
Farfalle.
Farfalle. Which does sound like it's Farfalle. Where are you from? Farfalle and Saint-Germain.
Isn't that the one Alan Partridge calls Action Man Bow Tie?
Yes, it is Farfalle.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So we're in Farfalle.
Okay.
It's just out. Well, it's on the border with Donegal. Okay, you ready? Do you think Langoyne? Oh, is it hair lower? It is.
And that's like a lovely wide spaghetti.
Yeah, well, yeah. You don't need to describe each one.
Sure.
Because it might be challenging.
Mm.
So linguine, is it higher or lower than Farfalle?
More popular.
It is more popular. Well done.
People, it's quite fancy in a restaurant.
It is quite fancy. Yeah, it is, yeah.
Sure.
So we're with linguine, but do you think...
Linguine.
No. Do you think... We're with linguine, but do you think rigatoni? Is it hair lower in a chart?
Is that a wide tube?
I think it is, yeah.
Ave not to say. Just what do you think there? Hair lower, rigatoni, linguine.
That's lower.
That is lower there. Good judge.
She knows her linguine from her rigatoni.
You know your linguine from your rigatoni has come sither. Right. We're with rigatoni, but do you think of fusilli? As hair or...
Fusilli.
There'll be no fusilli here. Do you think fusilli?
That's a little twisty one.
Yeah, do you think it's hair or...
That's pretty popular. I'm going to say higher.
It is higher, Sons.
Wow.
It is higher. Going well with the pastas. You know your pastas, don't you?
I know my pastas.
You know your way around Northern Ireland.
Oh, I know.
Okay, here we go. Right, we're with fusilli.
Yep.
But do you think macaroni?
Oh!
Hair lower than fusilli.
Hair
lower than fusilli.
Macaroni's higher. Cheesy.
It's
cheesy.
Not. No! It's lower. Macaroni. That's what I thought.
I'm surprised.
I thought that rigatoni. I thought macaroni. It's got to be hair, but it's not. It's not.
Fusilli.
It's not
higher than macaroni.
No, it's lower than
fusilli.
Fusilli.
Like Ian Fusilli.
Okay, is it me?
Yes.
I wonder if there is Paisley. The Reverend Fusilli. Right, we're with macaroni, Gav.
Yeah, go on.
But do you think that tagliatelle? If I've to point ye some tagliatelle there, is it hair or lower than macaroni?
It's got to be hair.
Sure it is. Oh, it's hair, sure it is. 20, so I'm not going to give you the stats
yet. Go on.
So we're with tagliatelle.
Yeah.
But do you think fettuccine?
Fettuccine.
Is it hair or lower than tagliatelle there?
Lower.
So say it is. It's miles lower. Right. Fettuccine. We're with fettuccine. But Gav.
Yes.
Do you think gnocchi?
Oh, gnocchi.
Gnocchi. What do you think? Is it hair or lower than fettuccine?
I had it for lunch today, Gavin.
It's got to be... Hair.
So it is. Nogge. Nogge.
So it is.
Nogge is hair than fettuccine.
Oh,
right, here we go.
Go on.
With nogge.
Yeah.
But do you think spaghetti?
Oh, come on.
That's probably the highest.
That
no,
is, yeah.
It's
well, no,
be.
I'm not saying that.
All right, well, I'm going to say it's higher, yeah.
It is higher. Yeah. Okay, this is it.
Go
to
on.
Close it out, Gav. Mm. Penne.
Ooh, penne.
Penne.
That is a
that's
popular
got me
one.
Double thinking it now.
Penne, is it hair, lower than spaghetti?
I think maybe penne is hair.
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's
hair. You fail.
You just fail. You lost it at the end there. Spaghetti.
I threw it all away.
You threw it all away. Spaghetti is that
be,
number one
it?
There, oh, followed my. By penne, fusilli, tagliatelle, macaroni, linguine, nogge, and then farfalle, rigatoni, and at 10, you got fettuccine. Right. There we go. That's the pasta.
Pasta
top
is terrible. Still Italian, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just
John
checking.
Nearly forgot.
Yeah, I know.
Radio X.
Charles, yeah, King Charles.
Hmm.
He marked his 75th birthday. He dispelled a myth about the royal family.
Oh, yeah? What was that?
Well, several.
Go on.
But this one in particular.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the first one up would be people who say they're completely unnecessary, which I'd say he's failed to dispel. But anyway.
Go on.
Second, they're a waste of money. He hasn't dispelled it. But what he has done here...
Go on.
He was launching the Coronation Food Project.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, he has a lot of banquets.
Yeah.
And 30 houses.
Of course, yeah. It's a lot of
so
fridges.
So I always
love
it when the royals are involved with anything involving hunger or homelessness.
Yeah.
There's always a wonderful mood of hypocrisy around the whole thing, and I'm how humble I am and how you out there, you've all got a jolly well pull your socks up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I get someone else to do mine for me.
Sure.
So it's an initiative to support charities feeding the nation with unwanted food. Which, of course, in the Hindu world is a massive sin.
Yes.
You shouldn't give away unwanted food.
No.
You give away food you want.
That's right.
You give first.
It's not the bit you've got left over.
That's your bin. That's your bin.
Right.
That's not charity.
No.
Charity is going out, getting some really nice food that you love, and then giving it to someone.
Giving that away.
Charity is not just getting all old crap clothes you don't want and just shoving them in a charity shop. It's going out, seeing a coat or a jacket, thinking, I would love that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Going to buy it and then putting that in a charity shop or personally giving it to someone who's there and is cold.
Proper charity.
I'm just saying,
according
to in the Hindu world, that's their spirit of charity. But let's move on a bit because it's almost too beautiful a thing to contemplate.
Mm.
Are we ready for this?
Go on.
At the end of the visit with the Queen to the South Oxfordshire Food and Education Alliance, part of the Fair Share, a network of charitable food redistributors, he was introduced to Kelvin, who was selling the big issue, bought it for cash.
Uh-huh.
Oh!
Cash.
The king. Cash is king.
Take note, Rishi Sunak.
Exactly right, but the cash is king. Mm. And that's what his philosophy should be.
Yeah.
He should always pull it out and go, here you go, mate. How much you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he should have a money clip.
Just to go like a rubber band.
We're just peeling them off.
Just a rubber band. How much you want? How much for the Mac? Go on, I'll take a lot. Here you go, boy.
Have you seen any money, any coins with the king's head on yet?
No, I haven't yet because I can't bear coins ever since the coronavirus.
Mm.
I get a bit funny about them.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't want them.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They feel like they're just
germ
vehicles.
I feel like, I'll just stick someone's hands in my pocket. Mm.
I got some mincey coins from my butcher that time.
Did you?
Remember? Yeah, I got a handful of coins
covered in mints.
And I had to just walk home with my hand closed round them until I could wash my hands and the coins.
But particularly because I'm always sort of licking my hands.
Right,
do that.
No, you just give us a handful of them coins from out there and I'll just put them in my pocket.
And bring them home.
No, but it's how the coronavirus has really changed the way you think, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It really has, yeah.
You now see it as like a pocket full of something that's been in someone else's pocket.
Mm.
Pocket full of
germs. Yeah, right round. Christ knows what happens in a butcher's pocket.
Oh, man. The old butcher's pocket.
Oh, the old butcher's pockets.
Terrifying.
Seriously. Oh, man.
That's terrifying.
Oh, yeah, more like a butcher's pocket. But I just love cash is king. And if he said that as well, here you go, son, go on. He says, you got cash? You're a cash is king, mate. Cash is king. Go on, how much do you want?
Yeah.
How much do you want, Brit?
I like that. It just occurred to me, maybe the butcher was hoping for... No, mate, you keep the change.
Yeah, you keep the change. Right, I don't want
it. Way of doing that, just put a load of meat on it.
He asked if I was... This is what Kelvin, whose pitch is outside Somerset House, Central London, added. I mean, Gav, I know he's going to try and bring him back to the butchers, but I'm trying to keep it on
the king. Sorry, go on,
He asked if I was in accommodation and about selling the big issue. I said it's got me through the bad times. It was a positive social message. Mm. He said about the food project, I think it goes to show he cares. He's reaching out to the general public. Mm. And then he said... With the gift of cash.
With the gift of cash.
Sorry, I might have added that bit there.
Yeah.
But
I hope you overpaid and didn't, like, count out specifically how much.
Demand change.
Well, do you know, like Gav's butcher, right, he gave 10 quid for the £4 magazine.
Yeah.
But then he said to Kelvin, no, mate, keep the change.
Oh, of course. Come on, well done.
There's no way he's going to take it off. And Christ knows where that's come from, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You got there, people off the tubes, using £1 coins in
tube coins. Oh, dear.
But I love it. If you could see the king's big wad in his pocket.
Definitely
like
a roll of 50s.
He's rolling out to any charity event. Go on in, how much you want? Go on. 50, 40, 50, 60, 50, 200. There's a monkey. Off you go. Go on.
Lovely.
Good luck to you, love. Big wink. And just he walks along in walkabouts, just giving everyone a little 50.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
This is it.
Level 23.
Level 24.
25.
Final.
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 Final round.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's
go.
Almost.
Ah!
Help.
Help.
Guys.
All right, I need
more
power.
Turbocharge your gaming and reduce lag with EE Game Mode.
Oh, yes.
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 Whoa. Yes.
And boost your broadband, even when everyone's online. Search EE Game.
EE Game Mode requires EE Smart Hub Plus.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
So difficult to get a conviction for fraud when you've got women like Nikki Vascones kicking around.
Oh, yeah.
Now, addressing an avid audience on social media, a former property lawyer, I like her already, named Nikki Vascones, shares insights she's gained from communicating telepathically with people's pets.
Whoa.
People pay 550 quid. Do you know what they do?
What?
They send her a photograph of their pet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then she stares at it.
Yeah. Right.
She stares at the photograph,
a photograph
of your cat or dog.
Yeah.
It's a 90-minute session. They can hear her asking a question, and then there's a pause. And she says what the photograph is saying to her.
Oh, so it's not even a Zoom contact.
No, no, no.
Wow. A photograph.
I really want to know what my ferret really thinks about me, wrote one viewer beside one of her videos. I want to do this for my three horses, said another.
They're winding her up, surely.
Jennifer Buck, an estate agent from South Carolina, has got three German shepherds. I don't know if she's got any dogs. Just kidding. She's got three German shepherds, two cats. She says, and she says, I thought, well, I'd love to know what they actually say and what they think.
Yeah. Mm.
So I thought, I'll try it out. Worst case, I lose $550.
You're kidding.
Best case, I find out what they're thinking. Yeah. Most likely case, you just get a woman lying to you.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and you lose $550.
And you lose money. You get neither.
I would lie to...
500 quid. Yeah, right. But what I'm saying about this, the trouble is, with people who are legitimately doing this, and people going, hey, here's my cash, it's so hard to actually do someone for fraud. Because it strikes me as like she can't. I mean, you know, how can you prove she's not?
Right.
You prove she doesn't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, right. And the customers will be like, no, I was happy with the
service.
I was happy with the service.
Yeah. Because chances are there's a couple of things you know about this. It's like when someone goes to a fortune teller, already know, you know they're at a crossroads. They feel a bit lost, so they prey on that.
Right, right.
Yes. You're not going to go to a fortune teller if you're absolutely sure about the way things are going.
No, you wouldn't, no.
It's a crossroads thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you go there, first of all, it probably means you're really over-fussing with your pets.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she's not going to turn around and go, yeah, what your Alsatians are saying, back off a bit. You're too keen as an owner. And sometimes they feel under considerable pressure.
Right.
And one of them says,
smothered.
Stop being such a sucker. your horses concur.
Your
an idiot.
Horses are all... They're all talking
your horses
about it.
Your horses, they say nay.
Radio X.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us sweep the
leg of truth
and enter
the dojo of deceit.
It's time for Bullshido. We've all got that friend or colleague that takes lying to the next level. It might be the foreign secretary.
Sure.
But listen, let me tell you, with Cameron, right, we don't do politics or whatever, but whatever, I know that guy, whatever reason he's giving, for coming back in, I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because there's no work on the lecture circuit.
That's what it is,
There's no one really wants to take any tips from him.
That's
no one's saying, yes, we should get David Cameron to tell us
we
about
need
that.
Cameron.
Yes.
Yeah.
No nice consultancies.
Yes. No, what they should ask him is a lecture on how you managed to get to be Prime Minister without having any expertise in anything at all. How did you get to the top of politics with seemingly no skills apart from great skin?
Amazing.
He's got amazing
skin. He's got great skin. Mm.
Right, we've all got that friend or colleague that takes lying to the next level, to wit, the man we mentioned. They're masters of the ancient art of bullshino. All politicians take it to another level, don't they?
Of course they do,
That's their job.
It's literally their job,
Hello, I'm a politician. I lie. Well, I hide the truth a bit. We've had examples like Derek, who reckons he invented boxer size.
That's
I love.
A great lie.
Dave's mate, who claimed his dad failed to get into the sass because he wouldn't eat a hedgehog.
Amazing.
Boom.
He refused the hedgehog.
Yeah. And a guy who says he travels to France every week to buy butter because it's cheaper than getting it in England. That's the spirit, little Si. Send your Bolshino stories to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Let's see what's going on in the Dojo of Deceit this week.
Pete in Croydon says, I had a mate at school that told me his big brother cut his Ford Capri in half lengthways and welded in an extra foot to make it super wide.
That's genius. What about the engine and stuff like that? What?
Hey, you just don't worry about
everything.
Those little things.
Just adjusted everything.
Don't worry about that. That's easily sorted. Sure.
Imagine, it would look so cool. That would look great.
Amazing.
I love the Capri. I didn't particularly at the time.
No.
But now when you look at them, you sort of think, wow, man. It's probably because the ones that are around now, they've all been sporterized, right?
Yeah, I'm
they
sure.
look a lot
yeah.
more sporterized.
Yeah, yeah.
Kev, what do you got?
David in Doncaster says, I used to work with a man named Kev. Didn't we all, Dave?
Not Lion Kev.
No, well, I don't know, but he was a Bolshino master.
So
I don't,
A-Lion Kev.
Yeah, A-Lion, another Lion Kev. I don't think he'll ever top the tale about the time he punched through some bulletproof glass.
Wow.
Wow.
Have you ever seen that? That glass is like inches thick.
You look at Prisma Kev, it can withstand a bullet. Let me give you a clue. Yeah,
yeah,
it's also, there's your clue.
It's also fist-proof.
Yeah, definitely.
This is Stephen in Liverpool. While parked on some double yellow lines at Geneva Airport after a long drive, yeah. it was suggested we take it in turns to keep an eye out for wardens and police.
Yeah.
Two on watch while the other two slept.
Yeah.
Stakeout style. My mate Andy said he wouldn't take part as he was once on a stakeout at an airport with his auntie that went horribly wrong. He refused to comment further.
What? That's a great lie, because you won't explain it.
I'm not going to tell you what happened.
I'll tell you. It was me and my aunt.
Yeah, right.
Stakeout at the airport.
A stakeout
at Geneva Airport.
What the hell is he on about? Bolshino. Send your Bolshino stories. That's just genius, isn't it? Send your Bolshino stories, 83936, please, or tweet at Radio X.
X.
$4.56 million. 456 real contestants. But there can only be one winner.
Eliminate.
The biggest Netflix show ever.
Squid Games, let's get real.
Becomes Netflix's biggest reality competition series.
I will absolutely double cross you.
Outshine the competition.
This is insane.
Steal the show. Squid Game, the challenge. The real game begins November 22nd, only on Netflix.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
So, we've just learnt as our first bit of business news today on Radio X that Apple take 36% of Safari's search engine advertising.
Ad revenue,
which is amazing.
That's a giant chunk of money, isn't it?
No, but what's amazing about that is they've kept that secret.
Yeah, right.
Well, I wonder what else, perhaps, they've been sharing.
Yeah, right.
It turns out it's one company, isn't it, that just runs everything.
It must be.
Right, okay.
I'm sure it is,
I'll get the paranoid mob up in arms. Yeah, did you also know, John, that they're listening to your thoughts? Okay, next up, are you ready for this?
Go on.
Zombie energy projects to be ejected from grid connection. The National Grid has been handed new powers to tackle the logjam in grid connections with zombie energy projects set to be ejected from the queue within months. Do you know what that means?
What?
Something
no,
that's not...
Neither do I. Neither do I.
Neither. I like that word.
Yeah, neither. I haven't got a clue.
What
dead
kind of energy can you get from zombies?
Are taking energy. But they're not using it for anything.
Okay.
No, sense. I think they're going to use zombies like batteries.
No,
like they're going to get actual zombies.
Grid's electricity the grid's ESO, that's the electric system operator, has confirmed it's going to scrap the existing first-come, first-served queue system for connections and warn companies it's going to be uncompromising in rooting out schemes that are holding up others. Can I say what I prefer?
What?
Zombies.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
They're using zombies.
We know where we stand with the
zombie. Electrical workers.
Sure.
Because you can't electrocute them.
They won't worry about the late hours.
Safer.
Or
they can handle wire. Cables.
They never stop.
They just work all night. They get them down the tubes next, please.
That's a great reason to have a weekend away. Yeah, we've got to be out of the house because we've got the zombies
in. We've got the zombie
safe.
Workers. Yeah. Because if you are around, they will bite you.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll eat your brains.
But they move very slowly.
Sure.
You can get
quite
out of the way.
No, they're going to
get
you. You'll be all right.
You'll be fine.
You've got a cricket bat on you. You're all right.
Brain! Braids!
What are you favouring there? A cricket bat or some knuckle dusters?
I like those huge, powerful shotguns that take the heart out. Whatever it is, something that's... You know the ones?
A punt gun.
The punt gun, yeah. Punt gun, that's pretty good. Okay, next up. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Great news for BAE, that's British Aerospace Systems.
Oh, yeah.
Because their sales have been boosted by 30 billion as the world moves on to what's called war footing.
Oh, they must be so proud.
Yeah,
wow.
Orders for submarines and fighting vehicles have boosted sales at BAE Systems by 30 billion.
What a Christmassy feeling for BAE Systems this Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, right, Gav. They must be feeling so Christmassy now. Yeah, but the thing is, how do they feel when they're giving out the bonuses
and
bottles of scotch to good customers?
Can they clink the glasses together in all conscience?
Say, congratulations, you did really well with the Ukraine sales. Yeah. Here's a bottle of scotch. But I found that really...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kind of depressing is what it is.
Do they celebrate? What do they do?
Yeah.
And lastly, I'm afraid Royal Mail have been fined £5.6 million for failing to deliver post on time. I didn't really explain that. You all understand it.
Yeah.
What I suggest they try and do there is... This is just postman generally. Don't say you've been when you haven't.
Right. Yeah, that's...
Don't do that thing because it's just easy to go, try the bell of the weather.
Yeah.
Try the bell of the weather. They've gone.
Yeah.
Because what's weird is they are the only ones I've ever got to go back to a depot for.
That's it. Yeah. That's true.
Round my yard. Everything else seems to arrive.
To you. Yeah,
even if they just ring a neighbour or whatever, but... But you can't be Royal Mail, can you? You know what I mean?
No.
Do you know why?
Why?
It's royal, isn't it?
It's royal.
It's British.
Radio X.
Guys, there's an import ban on cats.
What? What, jazz musicians?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
what?
Arf.
Go on.
A senior scientist has called for an urgent ban on cats being imported to the UK from Cyprus and Southeast Europe to prevent the spread of a highly infectious and potentially deadly feline virus.
Oh no.
It's a type of coronavirus from cats.
Oh, God.
And it comes from Cypriot cats. What really gets me about this is we're importing cats.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing.
We've got so many cats.
A lot of cats. We've got
chicken of the rail yard.
Yeah,
right?
But they're everywhere.
We're at peak cat.
We are at peak cat.
Yeah.
I don't know why they even say breed like rabbits when you've got cats.
Right.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
We've had cats before and Jemima, the female.
Yeah.
But just wouldn't, it was litter after litter after litter. It's like, would you stop, woman? And then you get them done.
Right.
So they can't do it anymore. And now you literally can't touch them below the neck. You can't do any strike down.
They get very, that's like a no-go go zone.
A pregnant cat or a cat that's literally just a, you may as well just have a claw that just randomly floats around a house, scratching everything.
It's like a furry grenade that goes off.
Yes, a grenade made of claws.
Yeah.
You just chuck into roost. A claw grenade. You're absolutely right, Kevin. That's all it is. Useless around children.
Yeah.
Wow. And then you're told if you go near their young, they'll eat them.
Oh man, you don't want that.
But I'm astounded. We're importing cats.
Yeah. It can't be right.
God, if there's two things we can do by ourselves: one, unemployment.
Cats.
Unemployment. Yeah. Two, cats.
I think there's a cat breeder.
It seems we're getting both in from abroad. Go on.
There is a cat breeder, I think, on every single street in Britain.
Yes, definitely.
I think so.
Well, it's any cat,
right?
Yeah. Any cat is
any
part of that.
Any single cat. Yes.
Every cat in Britain now part of vast breeding programs.
Yeah.
We've got no control over it. The government isn't involved. Nothing. And yet you've got some absolute studs who are importing
cats. Let's bring in more. Yeah.
Oh, more cats.
Not enough cats.
Yeah, you wait. You wait, mate. I've got a van load of cats coming in Cyprus tomorrow.
Yeah, Britain's not really a cat country. We need more.
Yeah, get in the queue, mate. You've got to see what I've got coming in from East Europe.
We'll end up as like when you go on holiday, when you go to a restaurant of an evening and there's always like seven cats in every restaurant.
Yeah,
that's what Britain will end up like.
With a really low meow.
Yeah, but can't you see this? It's like battery cats. Have they got cats? They talk about cat farms, like puppy farms. They've got cat farms in East Europe. You go there, it's just these vast sheds.
Fields of cats.
Fields of cats. Which have
cat farm.
Cat farm. What do you do? I run a cat farm.
Yeah, yeah. We produce 10,000 a week.
We produce, well, we're up to productivity with our cats at the moment. We're going to go through the million mark next week. Yeah, that's just for this month.
It's kitten picking season next week. Yeah.
We got about. We're just bringing something from Cyprus. They breed a bit faster on account of the Latin temperament.
Yeah, we do the pick your own for the kiddies.
Yeah, they go out there. There's millions of them wander around the hangar.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Radio X.
One of the great bits of fun that you could have being part of the EU bureaucracy.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Is just winding the French up.
Sure, sure. I mean, what else is there?
Case in point. Most of the round wooden boxes used to package Camembert cheese since the 19th century could become illegal.
What?
Really? Why?
Yeah, this should annoy the French.
Oh, this is delicious.
But that's also really like,
it's going to really irritate
the If it's replaced with plastic, I'm just going to
No, but if you and I sat around and think, how can we really annoy the
really
French?
Annoy them.
I know. Yeah. Let's say you can't sell Camembert in round containers.
Right.
Because it's not EU.
Anything they've been doing for decades or 100 years, let's put
perfect.
A stop to that.
It's cheese. It's unreasonable.
Yeah.
It gets at farmers.
Yeah.
Come on, let's do it for a laugh. Especially if you were Belgian. And you don't like the French.
Oh, man.
You know, you're legendary, you know, French baiters. What fun, right?
The Huguenots are chuckling.
Oh, no, they really would be just laughing their heads off. A heated debate has broken out following the proposal to harmonise packaging across the block with an obligation for it to be recyclable. So you can't recycle that.
Right.
Oh, you can't?
No, you can't recycle. Of course, it's just wood. It's wood and it stinks of cheese. What do you think?
But that's biodegradable, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you can't recycle it.
Right.
Yes, it's biodegradable. You can't use it again.
Yeah.
It's got loads of cheesy wood kicking around.
You could keep stamps in
there. Right. Listen, I can only.
Yes.
Gav, do you know something? Listen, I'm reading this here. I can only deal with one cheesy wood at a time, yeah?
Okay.
All right, so just back off.
Okay,
I'm
cheesy woodman. Yeah, right. Yeah. Next up, here's one of those stories I know you're both going to hate.
Okay,
sure, go on.
This is my foreign news section. So I've done home pets. Not pets, but you know what I mean. Gulls.
Sure.
When a hedge fund manager broke records by paying a reported $90 million for a penthouse overlooking Central Park, he referred to it as the Mona Lisa of apartments.
Yeah.
But since then, a series of residential skyscrapers, writes Will Pavia in the Times, full of flats priced for tens of millions of dollars, have risen up. It's now known as Billionaire's Row.
Yeah.
Oh.
But get this, I'm afraid you're going to feel really sad, guys.
Why?
Because an assessment has concluded that more than a fifth of these lavish flats have never sold. And there have been signs that prices have been plummeting and it's a bad investment.
I feel terrible.
Yeah. In September, the price of a penthouse in Central Park, Tower, I'm afraid that was cut from $250 million to
$195.
Ooh. That's a big loss.
That's really sad for someone, isn't it?
Will nobody think of the billionaires?
I hope whoever that billionaire has got it hasn't got that on an enormous mortgage.
Yes.
And now,
with punitive
even,
interest
even
rates.
With that now, they've put them well into negative equity. And now they're staring.
Sure.
To be
they're
fair,
panicking.
If they're billionaires, they probably just bought it outright.
No, because no one has got the cash. It's all assets.
Yeah, it's all in shares and things. Yeah, yeah.
No one's got the cash.
They do everything on other money as well, don't they?
Look, just take it from a gentleman broadcaster.
Oh, sure.
Okay, are you ready for this? Last up.
Yeah.
This is incredible. We're going to find out if elephants actually forget.
No.
Yes, because for 29 years, Panang, an Asian elephant, has been separated from her mother.
Yeah.
Who's also got a name.
Yeah.
But I can't pronounce it.
Okay.
150 miles between Munich and Zurich, so in different zoos.
And they haven't seen each other all this time, right?
Yeah. So in that time, Panang has risen through the social hierarchy among the elephants in the Hellabrum Zoo.
Yeah.
While Celia, well, we'll just call her Kayla, 48, and another two offspring that have yet to meet their sister.
Right.
Now, mother and daughter have to be reunited after 28 years.
Whoa.
Yeah? Penang's going to be shipped to Switzerland so she can settle down with her relatives in an atmosphere that more closely resembles the way elephants are in the wild.
Right.
The idea behind it is that elephants in zoos, just like other members of their species out in the natural world, live together in matriarchal structures, so they're going to return them to this and they're going to find out if they actually remember each other.
Yeah.
Through the, I don't know how.
Well, I guess their reaction to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. But how do you know then?
Well, they might start cuddling straight away.
Or just having a row. Where have you been?
Yeah.
You never call?
Yeah. What time? The elephant equivalent of what time do you call this?
Yes. Yeah. You never
You treat this
never,
place like an
you
hotel.
You never think of your own mother. You never, never pick up the
phone. You never send me a card.
Treat me like a slave.
Well, not really. She's been away for 28 years, Gav.
Yes.
You got that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got so carried away with them. I told you, cheesy Woodman.
X. Having a strong email password can help protect you from cybercrime. But there's an extra step you could take this festive season to make your email even harder to hack. Just set up two-step verification on your main email account to get double the protection. Go on, take your email security to another level the next time you log on. That should do it. Search Cyber Aware from the National Cyber Security Centre.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
First of all, we were talking yesterday about cats.
Yeah. Flat-faced cats, particularly.
No, well,
was
we weren't.
Yeah.
We were just talking about cats and how
yeah.
we can't believe there's cat farms or that cats are allowed into.
Oh, yes.
Importing
being imported
of cats.
From
still.
Cyprus.
Yes. And in East Europe.
Seems unnecessary.
It's the weirdest story ever.
Yeah. Well, it's cheaper in Cyprus, isn't it?
We haven't got enough cats.
Kittens. Yeah. It's cheaper. Anyway,
yeah.
Flat-faced kittens have become the most common breed in rescue centres.
Right.
Again, it's Instagram, isn't it?
It's got to be, yeah.
They see the flat-faced cat.
Yeah.
They want them.
Cute, squidgy face.
Yes. Mm. These cute kittens, they've soared in popularity among online impulse purchasers. Mm. You know... I do, you know, occasionally buy things off Instagram. If someone sort of says, I think, well, I'll try that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I've been influenced, just that's quite interesting. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, sure.
Happened the other day with mayonnaise.
Uh-huh.
Someone's saying your mayonnaise that you're currently using, that's full of vegetable and plant fats.
Saturated fats.
Saturated fats. Here, try an olive oil one. So it arrived today, I'm going to try it.
Sure,
if it
why
tastes
not?
Disgusting, I'll go back to the unhealthy one.
Yeah, no harm, no foul. Yeah.
If it tastes the same...
Mm. Interesting.
Put it this way, if it's as good as Hellman's.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Let's name names. Because Hellman's is amazing. And I've tried others. But Hellman's.
I know.
Cold Hellman's on a bit of chicken.
Forget about it.
Oh, forget about it. It's amazing,
it's
right?
Delicious.
It's just amazing.
Of course it is.
Ma Hellman really got it right, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Old Mother Hellman.
Mm.
The RSPCA say Persian cats are increasingly being discarded when their new owners realise their pets often have severe health problems that need expensive veterinary care. No, rightly so. They're only cats. God's sake.
Poor little thing.
No, it doesn't matter. You just get them on Instagram, don't you? From Cyprus.
Do you rate them as vegetables like chickens are?
No.
Oh, okay, right.
But chickens are vegetables.
Right.
You plant an egg, you'll grow a chicken.
Yeah.
You literally can plant eggs in the ground.
Yeah.
And you get a field of chicken.
I've heard that's exactly how it works.
That's what they do.
Yeah,
that's
you get
what they
rows
do.
Of chickens.
You can do that in East Europe. They've got the technology. My point is you can buy it, but the thought that there's people out there who impulse buy pets.
Yeah, who does
like
that?
I do with mayonnaise.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, I want one of them. And I want to look like her with her body.
Yeah, we can do
oh,
it for
no,
like
I wanna
a week.
Look, oh, I want to look just like her and have that cat. I'll press the yes tab.
I've got just the right bag.
Mum, I've bought a kitten. I'm going to be an influencer. Now I've got a flat-faced cat, in a manner of speaking.
Sure.
Anyway, so that's the very latest. Don't buy. All I'm saying to listeners, because our audience is exactly who they're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell by the text we're getting that right, they are exactly the sort of people who impulse buy kittens on Instagram.
Yeah.
No, that's it's a classic Radio X crowd, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's some things you don't impulse buy.
Yeah.
Chewing gum's fine.
Yeah.
Kittens, not.
Mayonnaise, that's okay.
No, it's fine.
Flat-faced cats?
Exactly.
No, sir.
No.
So don't do that is the first thing I'd like to say this afternoon. Next up, have you got chickens? Any of you keep chickens?
No.
No, I don't either.
No.
But if we do and we get worried when we go on holiday about what's going to happened with our chickens because they shot up during COVID.
Again, people did get chickens at home. Yeah.
Again, East Europe, Cyprus.
Sure.
Families are paying for their pet chickens to stay at hen hotels where they get fresh fruit, soft bedding, and classical music as part of the package. Okay. How do you know that?
Yeah, right.
Hen hotels.
Yeah, right.
How do you know that?
Because they show they can do it when you get there, right. But when you're not there, they're not.
That's why I had to stop using this kennels in Guildford for Jeff and Harvey.
Why?
For Jeff. I didn't do it twice.
Yeah.
For Jeff. Because, that's my old bulldog, because you turn up there and they showed you, they put him in this nice pen.
Yeah.
And then I realised I'd forgotten something on the counter.
Yeah.
I went back there.
Yeah.
And I said, where's he gone from his nice little
And he's
pen?
Suddenly in
they
general
said,
population.
Especially don't see him now.
Oh, no.
And she was northern as well. Especially don't see him. I said, I want to see him.
That's terrifying.
It was terrifying. I went back there. I could see. They're just the shop window ones.
Yeah. Right.
He's literally on a rack.
Yeah.
A rack of dogs.
Wow.
Poor Jeff.
Yeah, he was on a top shelf that he couldn't jump. You know, he literally shelved.
Well, like a bunk.
Yeah, like a bunk.
That's no good.
A bunk dog.
That's like a POW setup.
And lastly,
go on, yeah.
There has been, and this should cheer up loads of you, an alarming decline in British common gulls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, has there?
Apparently,
what's caused that?
Yep. Common gulls, they are among some of the seabird species that have declined over the past two decades. So great news.
Fantastic.
Great news.
Something positive.
So whoever's out there doing that, keep it up. Yeah. Keep up the good work.
Radio X.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I haven't forgotten that. How many old buildings are there in Britain, Stat? I know, you're excited.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Oh,
what?
Wait.
I wanted to guess.
First up, though. An AI startup have been embarrassed. Always great news. As I say, hear the drummer get wicked.
Yeah.
They're just drum machines. Mm. Everyone, it's always palaver about nothing. The only people who are genuinely threatened by it and is the government and politicians, because it genuinely could replace them since they offer us nothing.
Mm. Okay.
And what it does is it looks at stats and will just give you quite a good answer.
Yeah.
And they're worried that might do away with politics, because it might turn out it's not about right or left anymore.
Yeah.
It's just, it is about, and I say this with all disrespect to Esther, whatever she's called, McVeigh, that it's common sense. There is just a solution.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rather than having to dress this up as being right-wing or left-wing, that it's just, because they end up doing the same thing, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They've just got to make up a reason that this is a conservative way or this is a Labour way to do it.
Yeah.
So, but here's a great example for all those who are not really that mad about AI. Are you ready for this?
Mm. Go on.
A new device designed to wean us off screens gave out false information. High profile unveiling. This is a clip-on device. You ask questions. It always amazes me that these AI devices, like, you know, Alexa, whatever, you have to talk to them.
Yeah.
And this is one you wear so that at any time you can ask it a question, it'll tell you it.
Yeah.
But people don't want to walk around doing that. That's why people type things and have screens. So they don't have to go, what time is the next bus?
I know.
While they're walking down the street. People don't want to do that.
No, you look like a psychopath.
Yes, right. But the pin has been, you know, it's because people developing these things spend a lot of time alone.
Yes. Mm.
So they can do it.
Right.
Right. So the pin has been, this is a pin you wear.
Mm.
And you talk to it to give it information, make calls more. Call mum. Call Gavin.
Yeah.
Right.
People do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the pin has been developed by Humane, an American startup that, it's sort of funded by major players in Silicon Valley. They asked it, when is the next eclipse and where is the best place to see it? The pin responded, the next total solar eclipse will occur on April the 8th, 2024. The best place to see it are Exmouth, Australia and East Timor.
Wow.
And anyone who knows anything means it can't be those three places, and that's not the date. So it got it completely wrong. But when they reshot the video, they fudged it, so it had a right answer.
Oh,
so
no.
They're liars.
Listen, any company that's called itself, what is it?
Humane.
Yeah, it scares the
idiots.
Pants off me.
Yeah. Idiots with no social skills.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, the rift between the Duke of Sussex and his brother, the Prince of Wales, is so deep there's no going back.
Really?
According to people who've just written a book about it. Because they know.
Okay.
There's no going back, that's it.
And
that's
that fact it. Would be great for sales.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Instead, Harry has become a threat to the crown because he can think for himself, according to Endgame, the new book by Omid Scobie, who with Caroline Duran wrote Finding Freedom. That was that one that was, you know, said to be written really by them. Mm. Also,
yeah.
So they'll never speak to each other again.
Right.
Don't even look for it.
Right.
Okay. Although apparently the last said he'll never patch up with his dad, but he has done.
Yeah.
Get this, guys.
Go on.
New media might rely on the latest advancing technology, but sex still relies on a very old thing. What do you think that very old thing is? Well, how do you really get followers on your website? What do you? I mean, sorry, on your social media.
Is it being funny?
Nope.
Being naked.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Is it?
That's all you've got
That's
to
it.
Do. It turns out all you've got to do is flash the flesh.
Yeah.
Right,
it's
cool.
Literally, we haven't advanced from page three of the sun.
No.
We really haven't.
No.
It's
and
really,
we never will.
No.
It's really
it's
not
basic.
It's really not complicated. There's us thinking. It's It Girls and Page Three Girls,
right.
And that's essentially what
that's
you're still
it.
Doing.
Wow.
Yeah. An economic analysis of the secret to success on Instagram dispels all misconceptions about being clever and what you're wearing and fashion tips and food tips and diet tips.
Yeah.
No. A researcher's investigated the leading 500 influencer accounts on social media and says, it's simple. The more skin you show, the more profitable the site. There you go.
Wow.
That's it. Before the end of the show, I will be revealing.
Oh?
How many old buildings there are. No, not that.
Just trying to get your numbers up, are you?
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, yeah, I wonder what our Christmas card's going to be this year.
Oh.
Hey, the 4 till 7 show their thang.
Radio X.
Some are complicated, others are daunting, but few are as physically large as the one posed by the UK's 5.6 million old buildings.
What?
5.6
million?
Yeah,
oh,
that's
I would
buildings.
Have been miles off,
I thought I'd gone over.
No, buildings, that's built before 1919.
Wow.
There we go. That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Radio X.
This is it.
Level 23.
Level 24.
25.
Final.
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 Let's go.
Let's go. Let's
go.
Almost.
Ah!
Help.
Help.
Guys.
All right, I need
more
power.
Turbocharge your gaming and reduce lag with EE Game Mode.
Oh, yes!
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 Whoa!
Yes!
And boost your broadband, even when everyone's online. Search EE Game.
EE Game Mode requires EE Smart Hub Plus.
If you're looking for a new sofa, or bed for that matter, at DFS we always start with a question. What's your thing? Does tech light up your world?
Whoa!
Is the bedroom your cinema? Is the couch your castle? Do you like big nights in? Or are you lights out early? Whatever floats your boat or rocks your world, the right thing is your thing. And we've got just the thing for you. DFS, what's your thing?